Are we recording? No, too much!
Hey everybody, welcome to Ducks Watch Together. I'm Josh.
I'm Kylie.
And on today's episode, we talk about the Oscars, the Academy Awards 2018.
Wow, what a night.
For the films of 2017.
What a night.
So we did it.
Let's talk about how our day went, Josh.
Oh my god.
Okay, it started out pretty good.
Uh-huh.
We started by watching a movie that was not good, and I didn't actually watch most of it because my back was turned to it.
Yep, mm-hmm. I was folding laundry during it.
Yeah, and then we were playing a game called Can Josh Name All of the Movies That Were Nominated for Best Picture?
And we went from last year all the way to 2010 before we got distracted?
2010.
29. I just said I could do 2009 pretty easy.
Yeah, we never got there.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Did you think I was good at this game?
I thought that we, you know, you got some of the heavy hitters, some of those smaller films, but you know what's important?
Uh-huh.
I think we did well as a team.
We did.
Because I gave some real crappy hints, but you...
There was one of them where Anne was even like, how did you even do that? I was like, you know.
Million Dollar Pyramid.
Right there. Okay, then what?
And then we tried to... Because, like, we had planned to use my TV subscription to be able to watch the Oscars, and then ABC was like, no.
They were like, no, you can't.
You can't do that. And we went, oh. So then we figured it out, and we spent, like, an hour trying to figure it out.
And by figure it out, we went through PlayStation View, which we could have got a subscription for, but no worries, it's not available in our area.
Yeah.
And then we went to Hulu Live, but no worries, it's... not available in our area. And then we went to Sling TV, and no worries, it's not available in our area. So, essentially we found that the only way we could watch it was to either go buy an antenna or have a cable subscription.
Antenna!
And, which is ridiculous. Like, the lengths that we had to go to search through various means of internet streams. One of them posted by Brony Drummer on YouTube. Then we found a Russian feed, which lasted us for a while. Uh-huh. There was a good 30 minutes where we were just hopping feed to feed.
Yeah.
And then
it was really stressful.
And then finally we found a Brazilian guy who got us through the like 20 minutes or so. And then, finally, we just had an audio stream.
To be fair, that Brazilian guy only got us through one category. He got us through actress.
He felt like he was a bigger part of our lives.
Well,
he was trying so hard.
Well, because we were at the final countdown.
Uh-huh.
And then, so he got us through best actress, and we were like, great, we're
there. He got us through Old Men, too.
No, Old Men, we were on Facebook.
Okay. Fair.
Okay. But then... No, we were on the Russian, and they paused right in the middle of his thing. Here's the real kicker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We didn't even watch Best Picture. We podcasted it.
We heard it.
We listened. We used our imagination.
We did see Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty come out.
And we yelled.
So we were like, this is the wrong feed? What's happening?
We were like, oh, this is last year. No!
So good bit on you there. So we had a time. I will say that this was it was a fun viewing experience, but it was probably not the most...
prestigious.
Yeah, right. Would not recommend again. Five out of ten.
A five? You're giving this a five? I'm giving it a three.
You and Anne were a good time, and yeah. It was the Oscars.
Well, I also did really well this year.
You did. You won our predictions category. We do our heart and our head vote. I had 13 right with my head.
I had 15.
There it is. Right there. My heart only got 5.
So you're a little bit more sentimental than me. My heart got 8.
There you go. Fantastic. We had a good time watching the awards. I think we'll get into those in just a little bit. But before we do that, Kylie, I have an inquiry of the half fortnight for you.
Yes.
That's inquiry of the half fortnight goes as follows. Kylie.
Quiz show.
What is your favorite moment of the Oscars 2018?
Of this year?
Yeah.
Okay. I got two.
Okay.
Runner-up is going to be best documentary. mm-hmm. where we were right before talking about, like, how I liked this one movie and you weren't as big of a fan, and then they announced it, and I stood up, and I went, burr, burr, burr. And I did not give that documentary my head vote. I gave it my heart vote, so shame on me.
There you go. Should have
stuck to my guns.
Should have gone right there.
But really, probably the favorite moment was our reactions to Best Original Screenplay.
Hey, there you go, yeah.
Ecstatic.
Yeah.
Just, like, the excitement we had. I don't think that I had a... That was probably the most exciting thing of the night for us. Because it might have been the most... shocking? The most surprising.
It was within the realm of reality,
yes.
But it also was... I was so glad that it happened and nothing else did.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was my head vote, and so, like, I mean, I had, like, an argument for it, but I think that it... Our hopes coming to fruition is really, like, it was just really good to see.
Nice.
What was yours?
I think some of my...
Oh, I also really liked This Is Me. Like, we were just...
I was gonna say that, the performance of This Is Me was, I think, probably the best performance of the evening.
The Russian people stopped talking.
We were in the middle of a Russian feed. I mean, they did that for most of the performances. They didn't talk over Eddie Vedder either.
Yeah. I think that they were translating it.
I think they were, too. I really enjoyed the performance of This Is Me. I thought that was a really fun, good moment. That just kind of really came together really beautifully. And, even though that song didn't win Best Song, I think that, it was still probably a really powerful and moving moment for the whole piece. I think on the whole, I think that might have been it. It was hard for us to hear a lot of the speeches, and it was hard for us to really kind of hear a lot of the jokes that Kimmel was doing, and so we didn't have a lot of engagement too much into the ceremony at this point. Now, I will say that we will have access to watching it again, and we may give our thoughts on a later episode, who knows, so I will definitely go back and rewatch the Oscars on the whole at some point, so... I think one of my other favorite moments, maybe lesser than that, was the acceptance speech from the Lopezes, Kristen and Bobby Lopez, who won for Remember Me. I just really liked the way that Kristen came up there and she was chatting about in her speech, and she started out with saying that, you know, she was so proud of her category and everybody nominated in it because, you know, they're pretty much represented 50-50 between men and women. They're also very diverse. And, like, she was just very happy to be nominated with this group of people who did all that great group of work. And then Guillermo del Toro coming out and shouting out and saying when he won that, you know, he is an immigrant to this country and that immigrants are important. And I thought that was a really good speech as well, too. So I think some of those speeches there and some of the ways that it got a little more political in the way that I think the Oscars can and should be a little more political.
My favorite speech was for The Silent Child, which was a short film live action.
Yes.
And just the woman going up there and signing through her speech and just explaining what that film was about and its significance. I was like, ah.
Your favorite speech wasn't the tiny old dude from Dunkirk who won for sound editing?
Oh, he was so cute.
James Ivory, who's almost 90.
Call Me by Your Name. Yeah. He had Timothy Chalamet on his shirt.
Hey friends, if you want to join us and tell us what's your favorite moment of the Oscars 2018, you can do so at friendofafriendpodcasts.squarespace.com. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, where you can leave us a 5-star review or any star review, and you can subscribe to our show. That helps get us new listeners, which we would very much appreciate. We'll also read any review left there live out here on the air. You can also find us on Facebook at Friend of a Friend Podcast. And now, on with the show!
On with the show!
Alright, I guess, not that we can really spoil it. I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you've seen the Oscars.
Spoilers! 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 Spoilers!
We watched the Academy Awards!
Kind of.
The Shape of Water won Best Picture this year, and it leads the field with 4 overall wins. So those wins go for Best Picture, The Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro for Director, Original score by Alexander Desplat.
And production design.
Coming on, I think second is Dunkirk with 3. And then there's a bunch of things that got 2. I think one of the things that really stands out to me this year is... So this year we talked about how it was a year, especially in terms of the awards, where there wasn't really a clear front runner. And I think that became very clear. And even though we have a picture director winner, which we haven't had in the last 3 or 4 years, and that's usually a sign of a film, you know, taking a lot of...
Since 2015.
Yeah, and that used to be a standard. We used to have that all the time, and we'd stop that for the last couple of years. So I personally am glad we're... I really like it when picture and director match up because it just makes sense to me. And that doesn't mean that it has to match up every year, but I thought we were moving in a trend that because of this preferential balloting on the Oscars, we weren't going to see it happen all that often anymore. And so I was really glad that it did match up this year. But even that said, I don't think any one film really ran away with things. Early in the evening, it looked like Dunkirk kind of had a shot to run away with all the technicals and not, you know, kind of pull an Avatar where it wins a lot of the technicals but doesn't actually win Best Picture at the end of the day. But then it kind of held up, and Shape of Water came in a little bit, and everything kind of got their due except for one film, but we can get to that in a little bit. But what are your kind of overall thoughts of the evening, I guess, as a whole?
I guess with the acting categories, there was nothing that was surprising.
0% surprises.
Everything that happened has been happening this entire time. And sometimes, you know, it's nice to get a little bit of that kind of change and diversity right. in those things. Because, like, I think, like, in some cases, with the acting awards, they have been surprising. And they've, like, you know, you could have, like, the two front runners. But, like, for the most part, it was exactly what we had been told it was going to be.
So the 4 winners were Frances McDormand for 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, in an actress in a leading role. Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour, in actor for a leading role. Allison Janney for I, Tonya, in supporting actress. And for supporting actor, it's Sam Rockwell in 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And those are the 4 that have just been winning and winning. And so, yes, there was a little anticlimactic there. And if they are genuinely the best, then all 4 it, they can be the best. That's fine. Or for this year. I don't know if they were by any means. So that's why it was weird that they were just kind of running away with it in terms of all of what was happening. I've said my piece on 3 Billboards that I don't think it's a worthwhile film, but that doesn't mean that the performances aren't good, and I think that they are very good.
Well, if you look at the performances there this year, they're all just big performances. Like, yeah. Laurie Metcalf and Frances McDormand are doing very similar things.
Allison Janney.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry.
You're good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Slip of the tongue.
I mean...
They're doing something very similar with that big and brash.
If you would kind of compare and contrast Janney and Oldman, I very much. Like, those seem like big caricatures, less characters that kind of hit one note and have some subtlety in a scene here or there, but it's really not there. McDormand and Rockwell, they come from the same film, and I think it's just their characters are more layered in that sense of maybe that's just the writing.
They are a little bit more layered, but they are still those big, brash. Yes.
Yeah, they are, and I agree with that sense. And I think McDormand was going to run away with this, and this is her second Oscar, and it's a very deserved second Oscar. I just think that she won more so because of what her character represents than I think a lot of that film in general. And in terms of expectations, 3 Billboards kind of underperformed tonight, which I was very excited for. It got the 2 that it was going to get, and then that was it. Best Picture shaping out with Shape of Water. I think that's...
A safe choice.
It was a safe choice. It was... So with how the preferential balloting works, it was probably in a lot of upper halves, and that was just a really easy way to just tick it off and have that thing win as well, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that was too surprising to me. As we were coming down to the end, it was looking more and more like Shape of Water, so... I mean, I was secretly still rooting for Get Out, but, you know.
You had, my, Had my head in my heart.
Yep.
I mean, I also watched it in theaters again yesterday.
How was that experience? Just because I think that's something we should talk about.
So, I the first time I watched Get Out was February 27th, 2017.
When it came out.
When it came out.
I think we literally saw it on opening day.
Pretty close to it.
Yep.
And then I waited 1 year.
Exactly.
To watch it again in theaters. And I liked it more the second time. And a lot of my complaints from the first time weren't as, I guess, aggressive in my mind. The last act of that felt like the horror movie tropes feel like they happen a lot faster in a more compact thing. And so that just made it feel like...
And I think... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
And because I knew what was happening, I caught so much more of that writing. And, like, it's such a smart script. And there's so many little things that, like, I didn't think about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think... I've seen that film now, I think, 3 times in total. I've watched it twice since we got it on DVD. And it does just get smarter each time you watch it. And that third act, I still think there's problems to it. Mm-hmm. I will never say, you know, that there's not. But it works really well. And it is what the film needs it to be. And so, you know, coming around a little bit to what that looks like and stuff like that, it is nice as well, too.
And I think I see more of the build-up for it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad it... One screenplay. Original screenplay.
As it deserved. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was... original screenplay was a really difficult category to predict. I did go with Get Out at the end of the day, but, I mean, The Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I mean, outside of Three Billboards, and even that's good writing. I can't even not say that's not good writing. It is good writing.
It's just in our political climate right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But all 5 of those scripts are great. And so if any one of them, you know, would have come out with it, I would have been like, fair enough. Like, this is good. I'm glad that it is Get Out and that it does... have some sort of representation, you know, if the Oscars are a snapshot of what the world is in that moment or what our culture is in that moment, then yes, Get Out might have been a more appropriate winner, but you can also say the same thing about The Shape of Water, because though it is not as blunt about things, it is, Guillermo del Toro has long said that that film is about the outsider, and that film is about the person who feels like they don't belong, and he represents that by, you know, having Michael Shannon set up as the antagonist of the whole film, representing the white, male, cisgender, 60s era point of view. And then he sets up, you know, Richard Jenkins, Octavia Spencer, Michael Stuhlbarg and Sally Hawkins and the Fishman, Doug Jones is the Fishman, as all different types of outsiders, and how these outsiders can come together to overcome the white male kind of patriarchal person in that film. So in terms of that as well, too, you can very much see where and how The Shape of Water also represents 2017 very well.
Mm-hmm. Can I show you a picture that's going to warm your heart?
Yeah, totally.
It's Keegan reacting to Jordan Peele's
win. Oh, and he's got Colin Hanks right next to him. That's awesome. That's cool. That's a cool picture. Hey, you should look for Keegan-Michael Key's reaction to to Jordan Peele winning. That was similar to our reaction. I think everybody was excited.
I don't think we got out of our
seats. Yes, but yeah. That's awesome. Maybe some... before we... one other thing that I really liked and enjoyed. Roger Deakins. Roger Deakins finally gets off the schneid after 14 times of trying to win. He gets it. Blade Runner 2049. Takes home 2 Oscars, not only for cinematography, but for visual effects, which only makes me sad because, yes, those visual effects are great, but that means the entire... new Planet of the Apes trilogy gets 0 wins, and I don't know if that doesn't seem representational to me, because that trilogy I think goes underlooked and underrated a lot, and I say that all the time, so that's not a new statement for me, but what it did for motion capture and what it did for technology and visual effects, though maybe not so much in War, but for the other two, like, to have that whole trilogy go unrecognized in terms of wins, because they've all been nominated, but in terms of wins, it's just frustrating to me. I was like, that should have pulled something at some point.
Yeah, because, like, when I first saw Dawn... Yeah, Dawn. Yeah, I was the like, second one. I was like, you can't teach an orangutan... That's not a real orangutan.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I don't know. That was just for... And not that Blade Runner isn't deserving, because it certainly is, you know, but, yeah. Disappointments in the evening?
Dear Basketball.
Dear Basketball.
Because Lou is the best film of 2017.
Also, Garden Party is amazingly animated and just really great, too. I Google searched for Garden Party and found it. So if that's something you have time to do, it's 7 minutes. And the animation is stunningly beautiful. I mean, it's not... Dear Basketball winning was a disappointment. Because... Not because of Glenn Keane. Glenn Keane is a legendary Disney animator who worked on many, many films over the course of his Disney career, including Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid and Lion King. And so, like, he's a part of that Renaissance era. And I think he is a very well-respected person. And I think that that Dear Basketball is animated beautifully. If you're not aware, it's an animated short film. Yeah, we're talking about animated short film, guys. And John Williams did the score for it, so it's got some good visuals. But I don't know. Kobe Bryant is now an Oscar winner, and Kobe Bryant is...
It took Roger Deakins 14 tries to be an Oscar winner, and it took Kobe Bryant once.
And I don't like the fact that he is, alleged, accused, settled out of court, whatever you want to say, he's an accused rapist, and nothing in terms of what I've seen has convinced me otherwise that he is not, and shouldn't be punished for that in some way, shape, or form, and he never has been, really, and so, I don't know, that's frustrating to me on a night where it seemed like there was a lot of, you know, movements in sort of in Me Too and a lot of those things as well, too, to see him and, frankly, Gary Oldman, again, an actor who I like but has some trouble as well, too, to both be honored on this evening was kind of frustrating. I get that it can't all be perfect, but maybe we can try. Maybe we can try a little bit better, guys. That being said, there was a lot of really good montages. I enjoyed every montage. There was one that went a little long where it was like 90 years of movies, but... I mean, the montages are part of my favorite part, and I know that everybody claims that the Oscars drag on forever. I was like, you know what? They happen one night a year, and it's the one night a year where they're kind of in the main focus to celebrate all the movies and all the things that have been good, and so, whatever. Like, they have some montages. People talk. There's musical performances. If you don't want to watch them, I guess don't watch them. Like...
When it was too long, I was worried we were gonna lose our stream.
Fair enough.
Like, no, let's just bust through this, everyone.
Yeah. There was one that I think ran a little long just in terms of timing and things like that, but I really enjoyed all the montages. They were very strategically placed, because there was one that was all about movies, and there's one that was just kind of about how women are awesome. And then they did ones for the acting categories, which I thought was really cool. I enjoy the big anniversaries of the Oscars, because they kind of tend to show off their past.
History.
Their history a lot. And then there was one that was just like, hey guys, war films!
Honoring those who have served.
Honoring those who have served. And that, again, I think is a very strategic thing. I mean, they're trying to appeal to all of America. And they understand that, you know, not all of America is going to be on board for tolerance and diversity and acceptance of others and all of those things.
They showed a random scene from The Deer Hunter, not during that montage, but to introduce Christopher Walken. They were like, and now a scene from The Deer Hunter, and we were like, what?
My other big kind of disappointment from the evening, and I knew this going in, I think I'd said it out loud, but I'd said it to Kylie at least a couple hours before. I was like, I'm fairly positive Lady Bird is going to come out of this empty-handed, and it did.
It's going to carol it.
It's going to carol it. Oh, man, I love both those films.
You and only you, apparently.
Yeah, right? So that was very disappointing to me, and I know that that's because Lady Bird is my favorite film of the year, and that I think... Maybe that's why in my predictions I was like, it's gonna happen. Laurie Metcalf's gonna get this upset. She deserves this award. I love Allison Janney, but Laurie Metcalf deserves this award. But yeah, as things were shaping out to what they were nominated for, I knew it wasn't gonna win Best Picture, and I knew it wasn't gonna. I had a feeling it wasn't gonna win over Original Screenplay, and I knew Greta Gerwig wasn't gonna win for Director. So that kind of left Metcalf as their last option of things that they could win for, and so it was just disappointing.
Not Saoirse.
Oh, and not Saoirse, sorry, yeah, as well, too.
No offense, Saoirse.
No, you are my favorite performance of this entire year. No offense, like, I mean,
my film won one award, so I guess I'm the real winner here.
You are, there you go.
I won costume.
Phantom Thread won costume. Yeah. Just frustrating in that sense of it doesn't deserve to be
forgotten
in that way.
Yeah.
And I get that not everything can win, and it's not necessarily, that's not what it's about. But in this year that they seem to try to spread it out everywhere, and
I mean, I can give you maybe an in, like, I have a, mm-hmm. You know, I'm on the stand arguing as to why it didn't.
Yeah, go for it.
Josh. What's the general gender of the Academy? What's the majority gender?
Martian.
Okay, that's correct.
Yes, male.
Baked potatoes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, male. And, like, are most of them, like, young, or most of them, like, a little bit older?
You know, okay, so I agree with your sentence here that it's old men in the thing. I think they're trying to make a change to that, but mm-hmm. at least in this moment, yeah, it's probably majority old men.
Yeah, and so I think that, you know, as new people get added into the Academy Awards, you know, we might start to see that change. But I don't think that... I still think the majority is the older male population, and they might not connect to Lady Bird as much, and they might not see its merit as much when they, as compared to some of these other films. And that doesn't mean that Lady Bird doesn't have that merit, but I'm thinking about who the voters are, and, like, even if they are trying to be more progressive,
mm-hmm.
They might not see necessarily Lady Bird as being that bigger progressive. It might be like the Get Out.
But I will say, even in that sense of, like, I agree with that sentence 100%. Last year with Moonlight winning and this mm-hmm. year with Shape of Water winning, I think we're starting to see a turn of a tide towards different films kind of coming out, not only being nominated, but winning, you know. And Spotlight is the last, might be the last really just traditional male-centric kind of focus film to really take it home. That's not me trying to bash Spotlight, because I really like Spotlight, but, you know, there might be a turning point right there.
Yeah.
You know, and so I guess maybe then what I'm hoping then is, okay, we're starting to look at different stories from men. Maybe, like, let's hope we can look at some stories from women as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that that becomes more addressed as we go through.
And I think we'll start, that change will keep going, but yeah. I do think that it's going to take some time and take more diversity in the Academy before those changes become, like, very, yeah. like...
Something that I did want to bring up, pivoting to Best Director with Guillermo del Toro. Guillermo del Toro is a director that I'm very happy he won tonight, and that Shape of Water won. Mostly because he is a giant, giant film nerd who just seems that everybody, he's a nice guy and only wants to just make his happy little monster movies, and I'm glad that he had won that one Best Picture. I think that's amazing. I think he's a wonderful guy. I'm really glad that he won. Even if I don't care for all of his films, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if I love his filmography blanket-wise. And I've even said that technically I think he's a masterful director. It might just be emotionally and or, you know, with his characters and stuff that he kind of struggles. That being said, I do want to point out that, so we often have this conversation about the Oscars so white and Oscars needing diversity, and sometimes I think that what gets lost in that situation is that diversity isn't just adding more of an African-American presence, it's adding more of a presence of people of color in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so something that the Best Director category has done over the last... 5 years or so, and I'm gonna try to do it off the top of my head. But if we go back, I think it's 5 out of the last 6 directors who've won are people of color, and that includes people who are of Hispanic descent, and people who are of Asian descent, and people who are of African descent. So it's really awesome. So you've got, you know, with Guillermo del Toro, and then last year with Damien Chazelle, and then you've got Iñárritu for 2, and then you've got Alfonso Cuarón right before that, and then before that is Steve McQueen. And so it's just kind of, it's really nice that is one area that I think, you know, if we're not seeing gender diversity, we're at least seeing a lot of diversity in that category. And I was really excited about that, that the director's branch seems to be one of the more progressive branches, not only in those past, you know, 6 winners, but also with having its nominees being, you know, there, Greta Gerwig's in there, Jordan Peele's in there, Guillermo del Toro's in there, and then Paul Thomas Anderson and Christopher Nolan. Like, absolutely, let's represent as many points of view as possible in there, and I really appreciate that. Yeah. I don't know if I have much else to say. Darkest Hour 1-2, Dunkirk 1-3, Coco's got 2. Nothing is as egregious as Suicide Squad last year.
Call Me By Your Name 1, adapted screenplay.
Mm-hmm. Call Me By Your Name, Get Out, Phantom Thread. Each got 1.
The Post got nothing, but it was only nominated for 2. 3 Billboards got 2.
Stevie Spielberg, he was having a night.
Oh, he wanted to go work on
Ready He's like, I just want to be a post for Ready Player One, you guys.
I gotta finish this, guys. You didn't appreciate that I rushed through the post, so now I just want to work on this other film.
Right? Nolan seemed like he was having a good time.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of, and again, I need to rewatch it before I can make real solid statements, but there didn't seem to be a lot of real, like, social media moments from this Oscar and stuff like that, because in the past couple years they've done that. I thought Kimmel did a great job as a host. That there was definitely a few bits that landed even through our weird way of streaming. I think he's a perfect host. I think he addresses topical issues while also being perfectly passable. And I don't know, if he came back for the next whatever 4 or 5 years, on board with it. Like, they were searching for the new Billy Crystal Bob Hope, and I feel like they probably found him.
Yeah. A point on Christopher Nolan, who is a man who seems very, based on his films, I've always seen him as a little bit of a more stiff, little maybe colder kind of person, but what I kind of appreciated with this was that we actually got to see him. He was so excited.
Yeah.
When, like, people from his film won, and he would get up and he'd go and hug them, and I was like, oh, maybe my judgments on this person based solely on his movies was a little bit off.
Can I maybe say that maybe after watching tonight, and again, this is just one night, so I do want to emphasize that, maybe he's more like the Mark Rylance than less like the Tom Hardy. Like, maybe he's just like, oh, a British stiff upper lip, but also like, oh, George.
Georgie.
Oh. I just watched Dunkirk again last night, you guys.
We have to do this, Killian. We have to go.
So, okay, we're watching that last night, and it gets to this big wide shot, and Anne's like, what's that? And it's that first shot where you see Cillian Murphy sitting on top of his tipped-over boat, and she's like, what is that? Is that a submarine? Or is it the Germans? What is it? And I'm like, no, Anne. It's worse than the submarine. It's Cillian Murphy. No! And she's like, how's that worse? I'm like, you'll see.
You'll see.
You'll see, indeed.
Just wait. Get out.
And then by the time we got to where Collins, the other pilot, mm-hmm. gets on boat, she's like, Collins, murder Cillian Murphy. Do it. Get him off the boat.
Poor Barry
Kyoko. Poor Barry. Barry K. Barry Keegs.
What a year.
What a year indeed.
Beauty and the Beast won nothing.
Good job.
You win nothing.
You deserved less than that. I mean, I don't really...
Original score? I'm going to talk about this real quick.
Okay.
I definitely gave it that my head went to Shape of Water.
Yes, absolutely, mine too.
Because I don't actually know what to choose for best score, but I was like, Phantom Thread's score...
is real good.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
And the audience, they was cheering for my boy.
For Johnny Greenwood?
Yeah, for lead singer of Radiohead. Yes. They were like, yeah!
A guitarist? He's somebody in Radiohead.
He is a Radiohead.
That being said, I think the Phantom Thread score is great. It's wonderful. Weirdly enough, Three Billboards score I thought was really great, but I had figured that this was going to win. Desplat is kind of the new John Williams in a lot of ways. John Williams was nominated. Was he even there?
Oh, who knows?
I don't even know, man. I'm sure he was, but like...
He was next to Steven. Like, can we go? I need to work on your Ready Player One score.
He's announced that Episode 9 will be his last Star Wars film. Not last film, but just last Star Wars film.
Oh, okay.
He's like, nope, done with this.
So?
He's done them all, except for Rogue One, and I don't know if he did Solo.
Well, I really hope he didn't.
Yeah, right? Just stayed far away from that train wreck.
Well, no, because he is our Skywalker score keeper.
Uh-huh.
And then after the Skywalker saga, it's okay for him to be done.
There you go. Kylie.
Yes.
Any other final thoughts?
Congratulations, Icarus.
Congratulations, Icarus.
That was actually very shocking. I thought Faces Places was gonna...
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Faces Places.
Because it's the only other one that I have heard of these, within any, like, discussion of the ones nominated.
Well, a lot of the documentary and documentary shorts are on Netflix.
Abacus is on Amazon.
I really liked Abacus. Mm-hmm. I watched it one afternoon, and it's the story of this bank owned by this Chinese family, and there's an employee that they have that messes them up big time by doing some illegal stuff, and then they kind of then, because of that, get wrapped up in the financial crisis, and just because they're a small enough bank, they're the one that the U.S. government can be like, nope, this one, we're gonna take this one down. And they have to fight for their name and their honor, and it's a really beautifully done documentary. Like, I was really enthralled by it the whole time. But then Last Men in Aleppo and Strong Island are both on Netflix as well. The foreign language films, On Body and Soul, is on Netflix. The Square is on Hulu. And then I mean, you can do simple Google searches for all of the short subjects if you want to. Plus, I think most of them are streaming on Amazon or iTunes in their kind of sections there too. Revolting Rhymes is animated short that is weird, and it's fine. It's a Roald Dahl book, but it's on Netflix. So yeah, just want to bring those up as well too. Kylie,
mm-hmm.
Are you ready for it?
Uh-huh.
It is the Oscar edition of the Planet Hollywood game.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, gosh.
You ready for it?
No.
Yeah, it's 4-3. You caught up one.
Whew. Okay.
Okay. Since you won the last one, I guess I will start.
Okay.
Movies based... Oh.
No, I got this.
Okay. I'm gonna ask you a question.
Okay.
So this says, movies based on best... selling books.
That's right, any book.
Can we just do books?
Yeah.
Great. Movies based on books.
Okay.
Harry Potter.
Tell Me By Your Name.
Hunger Games.
Divergent.
Lord of the Rings.
The Hobbit.
You got it?
Kick-Ass.
Oh, you got in there. Nice. Nice job. There you go. Kylie ties it up. 4-4 apiece.
Who?
Friends, you can answer that question and any other question you want to, and you can join this conversation, because why wouldn't you, on friendofafriendpodcast.squarespace.com. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and iTunes. You can leave us a 5-star review, any star review. Subscribe to our podcast, and that helps us get new listeners. And find us on Facebook. Before we give the rest of our contact information, Kylie, do we have an episode on Thursday?
Probably not.
Probably not. Not indeed. Listeners, we've been going pretty strong, and you got 3 episodes last week, as well as 12 episodes over Christmas, and we really haven't taken a break since then. So since actually we gave you an extra episode last week, we're going to take a Thursday off. We know this one's a little bit shorter, but it's time for us to play catch up a little bit and do other things. We will be back on the following Monday with an episode on, the planned at least episode is on, A Wrinkle in Time. And so we're very excited to talk about that as well. You can also find us on Twitter at
DWT underscore podcast.
YouTube.
Duck Swatch Together.
Tumblr.
Duck Swatch Together.
Letterboxd.
WACT and Kylie Gallisher.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. I've been Guillermo del Toro. And she's been a fish man. Quack, quack,
no,
quack.
No, no, no. No. Bad. I've been Meryl Streep.
Quack, 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 quack. Quack.